This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and welcome to Duck Snort Baseball Podcast. I'm Greg Nix, and Wayland is out of town this week, so joining me as our guest co-host is good friend of the podcast and fellow White Sox fan, Eric Acosta.
Hello, how
Eric, are you? Thanks for being here, man.
Yeah.
Very excited to talk baseball with you, as always.
Thank you.
On the docket today, we're going to talk a little bit about expansion and realignment plans for baseball, because there have been a couple big articles lately about how that is a possibility that MLB is considering. Yeah. We're also going to talk briefly about the Mariners and how it's crazy that the Mariners are good at baseball, apparently.
I hope that expansion means that the Montreal Expos are back. Is that what that means?
It's a possibility. It's not, we'll get there. We'll get there. and then we're also going to do a special edition of our 30-part series of favorite and least favorite players on every major league franchise. And I guess 31-part series, because we'll be talking about the White Sox again, which we did a few weeks ago, and it'll be your favorites. So before we get into that, though, I just want to give a shout-out to Boardwalk Audio, who hosts this very show that you're listening to right now. You can support Boardwalk and Duck Snort by visiting ducksnortpodcast.com. Click the Support Our Artists link. That'll take you to Amazon. Shop like you normally would. And Boardwalk and Duck Snort get a small percentage. So we always appreciate that. Also, big shout out to our distribution partners at OffTheBenchBaseball.com. Great bunch of guys doing great baseball analysis. So go check them out. They have an article. They have a couple interesting articles up right now. One, are the Milwaukee Brewers the best team in the National League? Which is possible.
They
a surprising possibility. And then they also have an article about creating the ultimate versatile player. I guess Frankensteining a versatile player together. with such properties as R.A. Dickey's knuckles. Go check that out. So let's talk. Actually, before we get into baseball, I just want to know, have you been watching the World Cup at all?
I watched Spain.
I watched that one.
That was the
Spain,
great
Portugal.
Ending.
Painful, very exciting.
Ronaldo's free kick at the way he bent it. Oh my God,
it was crazy.
It was amazing.
Defies the laws of physics.
It really does.
And like, what a clutch performance!
Yeah, he had all three of the.
All three goals for Portugal.
I can't fathom understanding how to kick a ball to make it curve like that. I can't even wrap my head around understanding how to do that.
Yeah, well, and like being that like clutch, I guess, for lack of a better term, like it's the 85th minute or whatever of the World Cup, which is like the most important sporting event in the world.
Sure.
Like, the closest it comes to life and death for people, you're
everywhere but here.
Right. And you're like 25, 30 yards from the goal. Mm-hmm.
It's all you by yourself.
There's 15 people in between you and the goal.
The free kick, just like, all right, it's just you by yourself, and that goal, like, here it is. No pressure or anything.
I'm pretty confident I would choke.
Oh,
I don't have enough self-belief.
Where that ball would end up going.
I would somehow hit myself in the face with it or something.
Yeah, I mean, I could say with confidence that I won't whiff. I'll kick it.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the best I could do.
Yeah. But it has been. I don't have World Cup fever quite yet.
Yeah.
But I can feel it like setting in. Like, I'll definitely be watching a lot of it.
Yeah, it's easy. What happens? It's about really who you're surrounded by, I think, because every day I'm with somebody who is born in Egypt, another one from Canada. So them being non-Americans immediately changes everything. They're obsessed. They love it. It's all that they're talking about. So it makes me sort of involved at some point, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it's nice too, I think, like at this point in the baseball season, to have something like counteracting that baseball. It's not that baseball is boring right now, but this is the part of the season where it feels like maybe not a ton is at stake day to day, even though that is like sort of a psychological, like every game is the same amount of value. So these games matter just as much as the games in September, but it doesn't feel like
that. It doesn't feel like it. And also there is a current thing. It's not just about the time of year every for baseball. For whatever reason, interest and attendance, at least, is down this year.
Yeah, that's true across the league. Well, and sort of the theory is that specifically in the American League as well, there's the haves and the have-nots, right?
Yeah, I don't think the line has ever been so bold before. I mean, it's I think the number of teams over 500 is the smallest it's been, and who knows how long. It's crazy, but. And this is, I think it's kind of infiltrating all sports in that this might be a symptom of this new approach of, well, you got to get really bad to get good.
Yeah, if you're not winning, you should be losing.
Yeah, basically. And so fans aren't interested in watching that part of the process, and that maybe that's what's happening here, you know?
Yeah, I believe it. But that's actually a great segue. Why don't we start with the Mariners and then talk about realignment? Because the Mariners are surprisingly one of the haves in this league of haves and have-nots. As we're talking about this, they are a half game behind the Astros in the NL or in the AL West.
But they have the most wins, though, right? Or they're up there, at least. I know that.
Yeah, I'll pull up the exact standings. But so they have also an 8-game lead in
over
the
wild
card.
Yeah, oh my. Yeah,
which is huge for this point in the season.
I think they said that right now at this point, the Mariners can play 500 ball and that gets them 100 wins.
That's wild,
right?
Yeah. Which never would have guessed. And so let's talk, I guess, about why that is and whether it's sustainable. We did talk about this briefly last week, but I think it's worth diving into a little bit further. And to your question, so the Red Sox have 48 wins. The Astros have 47 wins.
Wow.
The Yankees and Mariners both have 46 wins. And then next behind those teams is the Angels with 38 wins and the Indians with 36 wins.
So you got the Mariners, Astros, Yankees, Red Sox are in a different league right now.
Yeah. But I think it's hard to believe in the Mariners in the same way that you believe in the Astros, Yankees, and Red Sox for several reasons, right? Part of it is preseason expectations. Part of it is track record.
We've seen those other three do it already.
Yeah. So we've seen that track record. And also the Mariners have this 23-10 record in one-run games.
That's the other thing, too. So they have the one-run thing going on, and their run differential is not very impressive for the season. Although, what I did find out when I was looking up some Mariners stuff is that early in the season, they lost a couple of like crazy blowout games, like 14-1 and a 10-1, like that. So I think that had a lot to do messing up their differential numbers because lately they haven't been losing like that in a long time. But yeah, that whenever you have a team with those one run games, it makes you real nervous. Like, is this, you know, when is it the other shoe going to fall? You're starting to lose in these games.
Right. So they have a plus 28 run differential, which is good, better than 500. And they have, who just hit that? We're watching. Oh, Matty Davidson.
Yet another Matt Davidson home run.
He hadn't hit one in a while. We're watching the White Sox and the Tigers right now in the background. The Mariners have a plus 28 run differential, which is similar to the Angels, who have plus 31, actually slightly worse. So so that maybe is the difference in luck, is like 8 wins for the Mariners. But those wins are already in the bank, right?
Exactly.
They count the same at the end of the season.
Right. But I know that just in the Red Sox series alone that happened, they won a one to nothing game. They won a 7-6 game. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're right now finding ways to win these sort of comeback games or I guess there's been a few where they've been up and they've sort of lost leads and held on for wins.
I guess the thing that like has been getting lost in some of the conversations about the Mariners I've seen or heard is that they're a good team. Like, they've been good.
Right.
It's not like they've been bad and completely lucky. Like, the Tigers speaking of, are like four games out of first place or whatever, but they're below 500. They're right. A bad team who has been playing above their heads. The Mariners have been good. They have like James Paxton is having a very good year. John Segura is having a good year. Mitch Haniger is having a good year. Yeah. Edwin Diaz, their closer, is on pace to match Francisco Rodriguez's single season saves record for whatever that means.
That's the thing to think that like, so the Mariners are doing this without Cano and without Felix Hernandez, right? That's insane. The Cano thing, since he's been gone, they're like 20-5 since Cano went out. And
they haven't replaced his production. Nope. Like Gordon
Beckham. They went down. they've been down. Their OPS is down a full and so is their, I think, runs per game is down a full run and a half or something. The numbers are down since Cano is gone, but they're winning.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means, if that means that like it's fluky or whatever it is. But, yeah, they have not missed him necessarily. But he kind of lost his job, though. I mean, they already said when he comes back, it'll be him and Gordon together, like kind of platooning.
I don't believe that.
I mean, I guess it depends.
There's no way you have Robinson Cano and D. Gordon on your roster, and you're like, which one of these guys should I play?
I guess it depends on where you are when he comes back, right? If that team is on fire when it comes back, it's hard to justify making that change.
I don't think so. No.
He's not a great defensive player. Cano?
Yeah. He's fine.
But I don't know. I guess you'll have to see. You know how like baseball managers, like they definitely don't like to mess with what's working. And he's a bat though. He's a bat for sure.
I think there's no way the front office would let that happen. You know what I mean?
Too much money to not be playing.
Yeah, and like okay, you're gonna lose him again in the playoffs, but first you got to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. How about this? If the playoffs started today, where's Felix Hernandez in your rotation?
That's a great question. So Paxton is your number one.
Right. Segura.
Segura is a shortstop.
Marco.
Marco Gonzalez is probably your number two. He's having a great year. And then, I don't know, you got Wade LeBlanc,
Leake, good too.
And Felix Hernandez. And LeBlanc's been good, but lucky.
Right.
Leake's been all right, which is sort of who he is. And then, I think you
got to do a feel because you got to figure that he's got the history to like. I've seen this guy be incredible. I've never seen Leake be incredible.
Yeah. Well, and if you're it depends too. Like, if you've got a one game wild card, it's Paxton.
Right.
If you're in a three game or like a best of five series, you're the Mariners. You haven't been to the playoffs in
17 years. Is that right? Oh my god.
Felix Hernandez has been your best player during that entire time.
Yeah.
How do you not give him a start?
I know.
How do you not do that for him, for the fans?
What he has done for your team in those lean years.
Yeah.
He's been the one constant thing. And you can't even understand why. I don't know what's wrong with him. You know, like I don't.
I mean, I think he's got a lot of innings on his arm. I don't think he's throwing as hard. He doesn't have as much movement, and he doesn't have the command. You know, he's just like worse across the board.
But I wonder. I mean, does it look like it's just decline, and that's what's happening, or is it something that like okay, he'll fix this and turn this around? I don't know. You know,
I think it's decline. Hmm. But we just talked, Waylon and I, last week about Justin Verlander and how it looked like Verlander had declined right around the same age, and he turned it around and is now the best pitcher in the American League. Yeah. So, like, you never want to count it out with a guy who has shown that ceiling.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll figure something out. Maybe he'll be like James Shields, and he'll find, like, Shields has been pretty good over the last couple months by just throwing all different kinds of junk, you know, from different arm angles.
Anyone who's listening, by the way, James Shields is available.
Yeah, any general managers. So I don't know, but I don't see... It would be a real ballsy call by the organization to not give him, like, start him game three or four.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
I guess maybe it also depends on, like, if you get to that point, what's the series? Like, what's the score in the series?
Sure.
Like, if you're down 2-0, I don't know if you want washed-up Felix Hernandez
starting.
But exactly. If it's 1-1 or if you're up 2-0,
you always. But it's such a great dice in your hand. You know, like yeah. Oh man, this we could get good Felix. I mean, he has.
Right,
the,
yeah.
I think two of his last three starts, he's been pretty good.
Yeah.
The two, so I don't know if it's a turnaround, but like there's something there. Yeah. You know, he's got something there, but God, how good could this team be if he turned it on?
Yeah.
You know? Like if he became anything like himself, like yeah. that team could run away.
I have
high.
To say I'm rooting for them. Like sure, they're always likeable. Love surprise playoff teams.
Yeah.
I mean, I do like the Angels as well, who it seems like are probably their biggest competitors for the second wild card. Like I think,
but with if Ohtani does not come back,
yeah, that evens the playing field because I think yeah. the Angels probably have more talent on yeah. balance with Ohtani. But yeah. yeah, if Ohtani doesn't come back, and the Angels have a bunch of guys hurt right now.
That's right. Well,
they have
two...
Cozart is hurt.
Yeah,
I think. A couple of their pitchers, maybe Garrett Richards is on the DL.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know, but
Trout is on pace for the greatest season in baseball history.
That's true. But the Mariners right now have such a head start. You know, they've
eight games.
Yeah, 8 games. I'm looking at their playoff odds on May. Let's see, May 26th. FanGraphs had the Angels with 39.3% playoff odds, and the Mariners with 36.5%. Today, the Mariners have 78.8% and the Angels have 14.4%.
Wow.
So, like, that 8-game lead means a huge amount.
And a lot was done against them. I mean, they just swept the Angels, too. So, they're doing it against the
yeah.
Angels. Yeah.
Well, and the fact that there's no other competitors for this second wild card, like,
yeah.
there's nobody in the Central.
No, Minnesota is not doing what people thought they might
no.
do.
No. They're like, The next team behind the Angels is the Athletics, which like the A's are not going to make the playoffs. The Blue Jays are not going to make the playoffs. The yeah. Rays are not going to make the playoffs.
I'm
like,
holding out for the Orioles.
The Orioles, they're going to make a run.
It'll be an
they're
going to
trade away Machado
for
and
everything.
Then make a run.
Yeah,
and then make a run. It's wild. I'm rooting for them.
Yeah,
I'd
like to see it.
It's exciting. I think the fans in Seattle deserve some. I think both of us speaking as fans of a team that has not made the playoffs in quite some time.
8 years.
Yeah. 10 years.
Is it 2008? Oh, it's 2008. That's right. Yeah.
But I think we can sympathize. You know.
Oh, obviously, and also. The Mariners, it feels like for so many years now have they're supposed to be good, right?
Yeah,
so many teams they've put together.
They're making up for underachieving the last
yeah.
couple years.
I wish I could remember all the transactions, but there was that one year when they brought in Sean Figgins, and there was Sean Figgins and a few other players.
Yeah,
and it was just like, oh man, this Mariners team, huh?
And then they all sucked.
Nothing. But and there's been a lot of, even when they were good, there's been a lot of heartbreak. The 2001 Mariners.
Right,
I mean,
yeah.
What is it, 119 or something wins?
116, yeah.
116 wins, out, you know?
Yeah, I read some article that, like, it was maybe last week, but it was a combination of, like, their playoff odds and their run differential and their record, and they'd only been in a position as good as they are right now, like, 3 other times in franchise history.
Oh, man.
It was, like, 95... 2000 and
well,
2001 or
it's
something
funny
like that.
In 95, famous collapse, right? Were the Angels and the Mariners.
But they made the playoffs in 95, didn't they?
Yeah,
or is it 96? No, it was 95 when Griffey scored that run against the Yankees.
Is it the other way around? Because it's either 95 or when there's a monster collapse at the end of the year. And I thought it was the Angels overtaking the Mariners. Maybe it's the other way around. But I just know that there's a huge collapse there. And then the same thing with 07, which is the last time that the Mariners were 20 games over 500, which they are now.
Mm-hmm.
The last time they were that was 07. And as they hit the 20 over 500 mark in 07, they then proceeded to lose 15 of 17.
Oh, my God. Wow. That's brutal.
15 of 17,
that's
man.
Depressing yeah. as hell. That's depressing as hell, like, when your team is already bad and
right.
you're just watching that bad baseball. But to have your team be like, we're going to the playoffs.
20 games over.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah.
It's hard to lose 15 of 17.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah.
That is not.
I wonder if the White Sox did that earlier this year, that stretch where they were so brutal.
Probably close. I do know, here's a name that you'll remember, is that part of that losing 15 of 17 collapse on the roster was Rick White.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Relief pitcher, right?
Uh-huh. He'd come in and he like walked bases loaded and things like that. Like, yeah, and it's like, oh yeah, I remember Rick White.
Yeah, I remember when he walked the bases loaded for the White Sox.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about this realignment. I'm not even going to call it a proposal necessarily, but you know, Rob Manfred has talked in several interviews about how expansion is on the table, and with expansion, sort of, I guess the subtext of that is like realignment is probably on the table, right? If they're adding two more teams to the league, that makes 32 teams, 16 teams in each league.
Right.
So there would have to be immediately some kind of rethinking of the schedule, right? Because you wouldn't have interleague play every day.
Yeah.
And you'd also have to break down the divisions because you couldn't have five teams in every division.
Well, I'm all for not having to play teams in your division like 19 times.
The unbalanced schedule.
Yeah. You know, like, I get building up the rivalries. That's great, but it's way too unbalanced right now. I think baseball fans all over, there's matchups I'd like to see more of. And I'm not a huge interleague fan anyway. I just mean within the leagues, you know.
Yeah.
There should be more White Sox Yankee games or whatever. There should be more of that kind of stuff rather than just focusing on constantly playing the Tigers Twins.
You know? Right. Well, let's start here. One of the big articles about this is by Jason Stark over at The Athletic, and I'm not necessarily the biggest Jason Stark fan in the world, but this is a pretty interesting rundown of like sort of what discussions are taking place within league offices. And he ranks which cities have the best shot at expansion, and here is his list.
Okay.
Number one, Portland. Number two, Charlotte. Okay. Number three, Nashville. Number four, Montreal.
Yay.
And number five, San Antonio or Austin. Number six, Las Vegas. And down at the bottom is Mexico City.
Oh.
So I think Portland is the most likely because they actually are building a state, or they have a group that has put in a bid to build a stadium already.
And of all of those cities, with the exception of San Antonio, I guess, that's the one who's had a professional franchise for the longest time, at least. Right?
The Blazers.
Like, yeah, right?
Well, Charlotte has basketball
and
the NFL. Nashville has hockey.
They just
and
got
the
hockey.
NFL.
And they get, yeah, they
get. Yeah, Montreal hasn't had any. I guess they have a hockey team.
Yes, yes.
But San Antonio, yes, the Spurs are very successful.
Right, yeah.
Portland is the 22nd largest media market in America, so I think that's the biggest of all of those that are listed, with the exception of Mexico City. Las Vegas is the smallest, which I didn't realize. Like, Las Vegas would be smaller than like Cincinnati or Milwaukee.
Smaller? What are they? What is
it? In terms of population.
Oh, okay.
So that seems unlikely.
Yeah.
Even though they just got a hockey team and are getting a football team.
They got a fantastic hockey team.
They sure did,
right?
Surprisingly.
but yeah, that. My question is: so when Montreal left, was that based on attendance, or were there other reasons?
Yeah, I think it was based on stadium, based on attendance, based on lack of ownership enthusiasm. But sort of like the pendulum has swung the other way a little bit in terms of like the Blue Jays play an exhibition game there every year, or an exhibition series there every year, and it's always sold out. It seems like there's a hunger for Montreal, and maybe within league circles, sort of this is according to Jason Stark again, but like a desire to make up to Montreal fans the fact that the strike basically torpedoed their franchise when they were playing well.
It certainly torpedoed their best season. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think attendance never really recovered from that. But
yeah.
I guess there is less. Then compared to Portland or Charlotte, there's less of a momentum to get a new stadium there.
Okay. Well, oh, yeah. So what did happen to their stadium?
It's still there, but it's just old and shitty.
Yeah.
The caveat to all this, by the way, and this was a point that Grant Brisby made over on SB Nation in his rundown of expansion and realignment talk is that probably none of this is going to happen until Oakland and Tampa get stadiums, because right now MLB can use sort of Portland and Charlotte and Montreal as like leverage to, hey, if they don't get a stadium, we'll move the team.
Yeah. Well, because that, you know, with Tampa especially, they've been struggling for a long time.
Right.
So I wonder what makes more sense for baseball, to expand or just move the Rays to one of those cities.
Right. Well, I think in baseball's ideal world, Oakland and Tampa both get new stadiums, and then they build, and then they do two expansion teams elsewhere, because those are bigger markets. There's a reason there's teams already there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think the stadium is what MLB thinks is the problem. I don't know how true that is, especially for Tampa Bay. I do think like Oakland has shown that they can support a team in a way that Tampa has not.
For sure.
You know, in terms of like fan enthusiasm.
Because we've seen like the A's, and the A's have what you would call glory days, you know?
Right.
When they were, they probably.
Right. Like very, like, I guess very glory days.
Well, I
like,
mean, I'd
you know, they won World Series. They have like legendary players.
And had national appeal, not just local, right? I mean, Canseco, McGuire, these people.
Ricky Henderson.
Like, yeah,
prior to that, like Raleigh Fingers and like
Absolutely.
Those teams.
Whereas.
Reggie
Tampa
Jackson.
Tampa has been competitive. They got to the World Series, but what, Evan Longoria, I guess, is the biggest name.
Carl Crawford.
Yeah, you know,
David Price. But yeah, I mean, Oakland has a longer history, which is part of it. But, you know, even those good Rays teams, they didn't sell out.
No. No, they were
still at the bottom of the league in attendance. So,
and I think, is that the last one? Like, the Rays and the Diamondbacks, that's the last expansion.
98.
Okay.
I will say it's kind of cool that baseball has come so far from talking about contraction to talking about
that's
expansion.
True.
That demonstrates the health of sort of the league.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, that's true. I mean, they've obviously bounced back. Yeah.
They bounce back. It feels like there's more good and exciting players than ever. Kind of like spread out through the league. There's a lot of different guys who are the face of their franchise right now who you can root for. It's cool. And like, so I think the most interesting debate about expansion is with the realignment. One, I guess, proposal on the table is there's no more American and National League.
So does that put the Cubs and the White Sox in the same division?
Potentially.
Right.
It would be like more like the NBA, where there's an Eastern Conference and a Western Conference,
right.
Sort of solve some of the issues with like travel and like non necessarily like.
It probably puts in a universal DH.
Right. Which we talked about last week, and I'm in favor of a universal DH.
Sure.
Watching pitchers hit sucks.
Yeah.
How do you feel if there's no more National League and no more American League? How would you feel about the Cubs and a division potentially of, you know, four teams, and it's the White Sox, Cubs, Cardinals, and Brewers?
Obviously it would be a major change to get used to, but I guess I would be more into that idea. I'd be more into like eliminating that we have two leagues here than I would be into traditional interleague play. What we've known as interleague play all these years has sort of been annoying to me. Hmm. I just don't like the idea of baseball for years telling me that games between these two sides don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yet here I'm going to keep giving them to you. You know, like obviously they count in the standings right now, but there's a distraction. You know, it's like you're in the middle of a pennant race and suddenly you got to play a team that doesn't matter to you at all. And then the idea too that depending on where you're playing, the rules are different is ridiculous.
I mean, that's absurd. If you sort of like zoom out from like this is something we're used to comparing to every other professional sports
right.
league on the
There's
planet.
Just one rule for everybody.
Yeah, everybody plays under the same rules.
Yeah.
And that's the only rule that's different.
it's
not even like a whole different, like, it's like, nope, here's the one thing.
Yeah, it's so strange. So
I guess that would make it nice and clean, and then it wouldn't feel so foreign, like, oh, we're playing this other, you know, you just got a Western Conference game or Eastern Conference game, like you were saying. It wouldn't feel as so strange that, like, oh, no, the White Sox are playing the Mets. I don't know what,
yeah,
you know, like,
I think it would take a lot of getting used to. Yeah. Like, it would take years to get used to, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
But I do think it would be exciting. Yeah. It makes sense. If they're going to expand the playoffs potentially, it makes sense to me to do slightly smaller divisions and slightly more regional divisions.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's just... I wonder, you know, though, baseball is the way that it is, but it's also, it's at this point very haphazard. The way that, like, they've tried to maintain sort of these rivalries, yeah, or like these rules that go back to, you know, the 1910s. And it's like, okay, you want to maintain and preserve the history of the game, but at a certain point, those are just like these weird, like, logic holes that, yeah, like, you're maintaining these things for the sake of what? You know, for the sake of they've always been that way, but that's
right,
not
that's
a good
not
reason
good
for, yeah, anything, I don't think.
No, not at all. But I wonder, I'd have to look at it, because all sports run into the same problem, was when they decide to do, like, oh, we need to do a geographical realignment so it makes sense, you know, you'll always find that you're not a very balanced league. You know, you'll feel like, oh, man, we don't have a whole lot of teams in this area or whatever. Because right away you tell me, okay, so the White Sox are going to have a division, but I can think of so many teams that would logically make sense in there. Minnesota, Detroit, both Chicago teams, maybe even St. Louis, you know, Milwaukee, and it seems like that's there'd be too many, you know. So, but then you tell me to put a bunch of teams in the, you know, up in the Seattle area, and then I'm going to run out of, like, oh, this is going to be a small division, you know.
Yeah, well, that's. So that is the other, I guess, calculus that maybe would go into where are the expansion teams happening.
Right, yeah.
Like, if there's one in the Pacific Northwest and one in the Southeast, there actually is sort of a nice balance of geography now. So do you want to hear? I can run through these proposed divisions for you from Jason Stark's article. So he's got the Bambino division, which is Yankees, Mets, Orioles, Nationals. And this is the Eastern Conference, I guess.
Oh, okay.
He's got the Splinter division, Red Sox, Blue Jays, Phillies, Pirates. He's got the Aaron division, Braves, Marlins, Rays, Charlotte expansion team. So that would be the Southeast. He's got the Museal division, which is Cardinals, Tigers, Reds, Indians.
God, imagine the complaining, though, and the outcry by telling the world that you're splitting up the Yankees and Red Sox.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So, again, so many variables. So, in the West, he's got the Jackie division, which is Dodgers, Angels, Diamondbacks, Padres. Mays division, this is the Pacific Northwest, Giants, A's, Mariners, Portland. George Brett division, Royals, Astros, Rangers, Rockies, which is maybe the shakiest of them, like, regionally.
Say that again, and Royals.
Astros, Rangers, Rockies. So it's sort of like south central, I guess. It's
the mountainous.
And then the Ernie division, which is Cubs, White Sox, Brewers, Twins.
Brewers, Twins. Okay, so we lose Indians and Tigers.
Tigers,
and
yeah.
Reds. Oh, no, Reds are there, right? Or no, they're not. We don't have the Reds there.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, and so then there's this alternate, like, okay, if you want to keep sort of the general National League, American League thing, you have more of the, I don't want to run through all of these, but you have the NL Northeast, the NL Mideast, the NL South, NL West, and then the AL East, the AL Mideast, the AL South.
So that's a lot. That would be a lot closer to how it is now. Then
that would be closer to how it is now. Except that the Rays would go from the AL East to the NL South, and the Rockies would go from the NL West to the AL South.
Okay. Sure.
So both of them make, I think, more sense than how things
are right now.
but I don't. It's interesting, and, like, I think, ultimately, I'm going to be a fan of baseball and watch baseball, like, no matter what the alignment of the leagues is,
because
anything like that.
Because at the end of the day,
breaks down the same way, right? I mean, you're still gonna have to accomplish the same amount of the same things
right.
to win.
You're still rooting for the same team. You're right. still rooting against the same teams. You're still, you know, the playoffs aren't going to be radically different. The game's not going to be radically different. So I'm going to be fine with whatever.
Sure.
But it is, I do like the idea of just things making a little bit more logical
sure.
sense.
I mean, look at the change, the 94 realignment or 94, 95, whatever
right.
it was. I mean, when you think about how it was before that, it was the most illogical. Right? The White Sox had to keep putting up with the Oakland A's in
yeah.
their division. Why are we in the division
right.
with the Oakland A's?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess it just does keep making more and more sense as they try to put this the right way.
Yeah, and like I think baseball should be a living thing that grows and changes. You know, like
yeah.
I don't.
A lot of old men don't. But
yes,
yeah.
I know, and there will be a lot of fans who are royally pissed off with yeah. any kind of realignment. But I think like if you're baseball, you just got to be like. Deal with it.
You
like,
just,
get
yeah.
over it. It's
and they,
not.
And that's the thing is that they would be right in saying that. Like, don't be afraid of the old crusties complaining. Because that.
Right.
Favoring them will not help you grow your brand. You know, like, you. Growing your brand sometimes means upsetting those people because they're not the larger pool.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to keep moving on, then yeah, you're going to have to do these things and don't worry about what they say because the younger group will like it probably.
Well, and you got to think about the health of the sport moving forward, not think about, you know, how do we keep things
right.
as they always have been.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think that's a good note to go to break on. And when we come back, we'll be talking about Eric's favorite and least favorite Chicago White Sox of all time. So stick around. All right. Welcome back to Duck Snort. One thing before we get into the White Sox that I wanted to mention is that this is our 50th episode,
hey.
Which is pretty cool. So I just want to thank you guys all for listening. I want to thank, Eric. I think you've been on like 4 or 5 of them. So
yeah, I get the jacket now, don't I?
Yeah.
Nice.
The SNL, club. Yeah, that's neither here nor there, but I think it's pretty cool that we've been doing it. It's weird to me that Wayland isn't here for,
for an
anniversary episode, but, you know, he decided to go to the Grand Canyon with his wife's family, so I guess I know where his priorities lie.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, and it's with natural beauty, not podcasting. Anyway.
It's natural. I prioritize natural beauty.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, so we've been doing this series, if people are listening for the first time in a while, of our favorite players and least favorite players for every franchise. The White Sox, I believe, were the second one that we did, so we're revisiting them. But Eric, as a lifelong mm-hmm. White Sox fan, I definitely am curious who your favorite and least favorite White Sox are. So why don't we, which one do you want to start with?
Well, let's see. Well, favorite is I mean, it's all gonna be tough, especially, you know, favorite, I think, because of how long I've been watching and there's so many standouts. It seems like it's so easy to go to Frank because God, he's the best, you know.
That was mine.
Yeah,
an easy favorite, and I believe it was Waylon's as well.
Who was Waylon's least favorite Cub?
Waylon's least favorite Cub was Alfonso Soriano.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
My
okay.
least favorite Cub was Kerry Wood.
Okay. So, my favorite White Sox. So, yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, you got to mention names like Frank and Jack McDowell. And then there's, like, you know, fan favorites, things that, like, you get excited about, people like Craig Graybeck.
Oh, he was one of my favorites
yeah.
when I was a kid,
me,
for sure.
Yeah, me too.
Which, like,
Canerco,
is...
you know.
Yeah, sure. Just on Graybeck for a second, it's like, yeah, he was a utility infielder.
Right.
He was, but like, he is a name that resonates with White Sox fans
yeah.
and with no one else in the major leagues. And I'm sure there's players like that for
Joey
every
Cora
franchise.
Joey Cora is another one like that too.
Yeah. Cora made the All-Star team with the Mariners,
that's,
though.
Right.
Actually, in that 2001 season, I think we were just talking
about. Is that
about,
right?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, wow.
But
But yeah, there's those players that you can't.
Or no, that maybe it was earlier than 2001. Anyway, sorry.
But yeah, but you can't explain why.
Yeah, especially to fans of other franchises. But I think that's kind of what's so interesting about picking like this series that we've been doing is like, for whatever reason, there's guys that resonate with you.
Yeah.
Kind of from every team, like that you just come across, you know?
But I think that, so it's like, yeah, if I have to mention people like Frank, Robin Ventura, Craig Graybeck, Canerco, of course, Burley, and always Bobby Jenks and things like that I love. But I think that my favorite is Freddy Garcia.
Wow, yeah. Sweaty Freddy.
I loved Freddy Garcia. Yeah. And I don't, I'm not exactly sure. I mean, he was a solid pitcher.
He was really good. Obviously, on the World Series team.
That's right, yeah. And there was just something about his attitude, probably because he was a pothead. I don't know.
Is that true?
I know that he was busted with it in his car.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, but... there was something about Freddie. I remember in 2004 when they made the trade for him. God, I was so excited. Because he was, even on the Mariners, you can tell, I was like, oh man, this guy's got an amazing arm. It was interesting because he came to the White Sox and he wasn't like the guy that blew you away with that arm. He was just a good pitcher. He was just a really good pitcher. But there was something about the way he was on the mound or whatever. And of course, I'll never forget that he was the pitcher who pitched Game 4 of the World Series and gave up zero runs.
Yeah,
you know. I'd put Freddie as my favorite White Sox player.
Wow, that. I mean, good choice because I love Freddie Garcia, and I think Freddie too. He contributed to the franchise in several ways, right? So he came over in 2004. He was this big deadline acquisition who had another year or two on his contract. So it was like this...
Actually, he had a very short amount of time.
I think, but it was through 2005 maybe, and they re-signed him.
Maybe, but then even before was up, they re-signed him, yeah.
But and they were okay in 2004, but not great.
Right.
But and I remember being sort of not upset when they traded for him because I was like, this guy's really good. Like, this was a great trade. But they traded Jeremy Reed, who was at the time one of the best prospects
in baseball. And Miguel Olivo.
Who was a good catcher.
Yeah.
And both of whom sort of...
Nothing.
Ended up amounting to nothing.
Olivo probably had a better career than Reed.
Yeah. So it kind of was a... in retrospect, it was like a great trade.
Yeah.
So much added value to
that's
the
true.
Franchise
yeah.
and like one of Kenny Williams' best trades for sure.
No
also,
doubt.
I think Garcia pitched one of the games in 2000 for the Mariners that the White Sox lost in the division series.
Oh, in the playoffs? Oh, that's...
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. He had to have.
Yeah, so kind of nice to acquire him in that way. And then they traded Freddie Garcia for
Gavin
Floyd, who ended up being a very good pitcher for the White Sox.
Yeah, he's
and then
good.
They got Freddie Garcia back for 2 years, and he pitched very well for them in, I think it was like 2011, 2012, not teams that ended up making the playoffs, but
he was fine. He was fine.
Right, and he became this sort of like workhorse. But surprising to me that like you would take Garcia over Burley, since they were contemporaries, sort of similar guys, but Burley is like... Burley is the White's... He's the defining White Sox to me of the, like, 05 to 2011-12
he
era.
He and Canerico. I, for some reason, I put those two as the face of that era of baseball.
I mean, Canerico is, like, you know, Burley left and pitched elsewhere.
Right.
Canerico didn't. So, I mean, it makes sense, but I love Burley, and
so
I'm, like, meh on Canerico. Like, I like him, but I don't...
You don't... He's not the captain.
I think it's because in my mind it's like Canerco and Thomas are the sort of sluggers of the last 30 years,
right.
And Thomas is leaps and bounds above Canerco.
Of course,
so I think but Canerco like was on the World Series team, hit that huge
home
run.
Slam,
yeah.
But with Burley, and I love Burley and everything. I guess it's probably more of my personal makeup. Like, I always want to shy away from the obvious when you ask me, what's your favorite? Like, oh, Burley and Frank Thomas. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, well, of course they are. You know?
I get that.
But there, like I said, there's always this weird intangible. Like,
Why do I like Freddie more than Burley? Definitely not because I think he's better than Burley. Burley's right. numbers are probably much better than Freddie Garcia's. Right. You know, and even if you tell me it's a one got one game to win, I'm probably picking Burley over Freddie. You know, but it was a personality thing that I think made me like Freddie a little bit more, like an inexplicable intangible that like makes that leap. You know.
Well, I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
For one thing. As much as I love Burley, and I love Burley's personality, you know, that he used to do the sliding during rain delays, and he was, like, very funny. He has that famous quote about, like, the reason he worked so fast on the mound was because if he wanted to get his ass kicked, he at least wanted it to be over with, because he was always very deprecating about how good he was.
Yeah.
But he also is, a like, kind of a redneck, and, like, kind of has, like...
Hunter. He's a hunter.
Yeah, very culturally different from me. So I get why you can sort of, like for whatever
relate to Freddie a little bit
more.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
as a pothead, is what I'm saying. But, okay. I like that pick, actually, because also just a guy I haven't thought of in a while.
Right.
And who, had some very lasting contributions to the White Sox.
So least favorite is fun because, you know, I'm sure you and I can have a great time with these names. Again, there are names that come to mind of like people like just irritated me, whether it was like Dan Pasqua.
Okay, that was a little bit before my time. I had his baseball cards, but I don't remember watching him play.
It was just one of the guys like, "Oh, Dan Pasqua's up." boy, here we go. Mm-hmm. And then there's players that will be always remembered for how they were awful for us. Jose Paniagua.
Oh sure. Yeah.
David Wells.
Yeah.
But I think I'd have to say that my least favorite, because of all of it combined, was Nick Swisher.
Yeah. I was wondering if that was going to be your pick. So Nick Swisher was my choice for least favorite Yankee of all time. Because he only played for the White Sox for one season.
Right.
My least favorite White Sox of all time was Jamie Navarro.
Oh, Jamie Navarro is a good one. Yeah. Ooh, Jamie Navarro is a good one. Oh, that guy.
But that's so funny you picked Swisher. I'm sure for the exact same reasons I picked him for my
Yankees.
Least favorite Yankee.
Because he's a D-bag.
Like, yeah, he's a D-bag. And like my logic was he was really bad for the White Sox and really good for the Yankees for no reason.
That irritates you because he's like, I know that it's you then. I know it's on you.
Yeah, right.
You know?
It's like not like you just stopped being good.
Yeah.
It was just... for whatever reason, you were bad this year.
Whole
and they traded Gio Gonzalez for him, who ended up being this amazing pitcher. I 100% get it. And
yeah.
I support that pick.
Especially because that year, which I want to say was 08, last time they made the playoffs.
Yes.
They had a fairly decent club that they put together.
They had a really solid team.
Yeah.
But like, by the time they got to the playoffs, Swisher wasn't even
there,
playing.
Because he couldn't
Dwayne
do anything.
Wise was playing center field for them.
Which was, makes you frustrated because if Swisher has the talent, Swisher was probably his best, with the Indians or the A's, would you say? I don't know.
He was bad for the Indians.
Was
he was best for the Yankees. He was good for the Athletics,
right.
Bad for the White Sox, very good for the Yankees, and then signed with the Indians and like immediately sucked again.
So when you see him good for the Yankees, and you know what Kenny Williams was thinking that he was getting in the deal, and had he done any of that, the 08 White Sox are better than they even were.
Right.
You know?
Maybe so they get out of the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You know? And so it's like, you. When I just see them, I just get so mad.
Speaking of personality differences, like, I mean, we talked about this on the Yankees episode as well, but he's such like a bro. He just like.
Yeah, he is.
Here's the counter argument, I guess, in Swisher's favor, like personality wise. Not that I like him, but I also didn't like the culture of the late aughts, early 2010s White Sox, which were in the pattern of Konerko, which is sort of this like very business-like, you know, no personality. We just come and we do our work and we grind and we, you know, Darren Erstad and
we got
all these grindery guys who suck ass and try hard and make baseball seem as not fun as possible.
The grinder rules.
Yeah. So I think Swisher, there is a universe.
A breath of fresh air. That
yeah.
Comes
there's
in
a
there.
Universe in which Swisher could have been a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
But I think Konerko And late stage Ozzy like would not put up with it. And
well, that's tolerable to anybody if you're also producing.
Yeah, if you're good,
right?
That's the thing. Yeah. Is like he wasn't good, and he was this personality right. difference. But I think Swisher and Carlos Quinton, who of course was incredible in 2008, I think they were pretty tight, sort of.
Which is interesting because Quinton matches a little bit more with the first thing you're talking about, where
like,
it's just like
a little too
super
focused,
serious, just, you know, which is why he broke his hand in the idiotic way that he did.
Oh, my God. That was such a season of lost opportunities. If anybody listening doesn't know, Carlos Quinton was the favorite for MVP. And at the end of August, he struck out and he punched his bat.
Yep. Broke
his hand, missed the rest of the season and the playoffs.
Yep.
Which, like, is a freak thing. I mean, like, I'm sure he, like, pounded his bat like
that.
You
see players do it
times.
All the
right,
time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, like.
But give me the 08 season back with a productive Nick Swisher and a Carlos Quinton who doesn't break his hand, and I'd love to see that playoff run.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that was the year. I mean, they did go up against a Rays team that made the World Series.
Won the World Series. Was a very good team.
But they, you know, they took one game from them in that division series.
Right.
And they were a team that was 3 years removed from winning the World Series. So they were a team with a lot more experience.
Yeah, yeah.
You never know.
You had people, and not that obviously he was far past his prime, but like, you know, Griffey's on that team. That's a veteran presence that, like,
yeah,
you know,
Griffey's. Yeah,
I know, he was pretty much done at that point.
Yeah.
Although in that playoff series,
it was in the one game,
where he had a great throw that he threw guy out at from the outfield right to the plate.
Yeah. But they did have like a little bit of a murderer's row,
if
Swisher had been healthy. They had Tomy, Konerko, Dye,
Quinton.
Yeah.
Oh, for
sure. Could have been something.
Yeah.
Creedy.
Yeah, Creedy was still around. Yeah. But yeah.
Oh, by the way, that was Waylon's least favorite White Sox of
Joe
all time.
Creedy?
Were Creedy and Pierzynski.
Well, obviously AJ Preszynski. That's an easy one for you know.
Yeah.
But although for me, AJ's way closer to my favorite list than my least favorite. But Creedy.
Yeah, it was because Creedy, I guess, always clobbered the Royals in his memory of them.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So I mean, again, it's like who. It's just funny who you spark to and who you
don't. You remember.
I mean, you'll probably recall this as well. Waylon was shocked that my least favorite Royal of all time was Bruce Chen.
Oh, Cy Chen.
Cy Chen.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, the worst, no doubt. Who was the one? Marco Scudero is another name.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
Like,
for the A's.
And then I wish I could remember. God, as a Blue Jays guy, is this not a name? Like, I'm sure you know him. I just can't think of his name right now. But, like, as a member of the Blue Jays, just wore White Sox pitching out. He had, like, a 5-for-5 game one time. Players that just, for no reason.
Nick,
you know,
Punto is another
Nick
good
Punto
one for the Twins.
Yep. Well, you could give me the entire 2003 Twins roster from top to bottom are my least favorite Twins. Oh man, those teams, I just could not stand those teams. Brad Radke.
Yeah. Right.
And Joe Mays.
Joe Mays, yeah. Oh man, what was that? They had the Lou Ford.
Oh,
DH.
God, Jock Jones.
Yeah. We've got a in the rec league that Waylon and Joe and I play in, we've got a Jock Jones bat. It might even be like a game used bat that somebody got at some auction or something, but I've swung a Jock Jones bat.
So on your least favorite Cub list, Kerry Wood is at the top. Where's Zambrano?
I never had a problem with Zambrano. I actually kind of always wanted the White Sox to trade for Zambrano because Ozzy was tight with him in those last few years. He was like, you know, wild and sort of like, I was like, this is a good buy low. Like, let's get Zambrano, see if, like, being with Ozzy can help him out. Of course, it never happened, and also Ozzy, like, burnt out.
But isn't it's crazy to think, though, that, I mean, they weren't, as it turned out, they were done, but it didn't seem like they should be, logically. When these guys all got together in Florida, Ozzy, Burley, Zambrano, it didn't work at all.
No.
Which, it sounds like it should have.
Yeah.
But I don't understand.
They were just, like, yeah, I mean, Ozzy talked his way out of that job for sure.
Yeah.
But Zambrano was done.
Yeah, he was.
You know, Reyes got hurt, I think. I think it was one of those things where they just didn't have. It was kind of like the White Sox before, what, 2014, when they signed Robertson and LaRoche
and Cabrera.
It was like, these are all good acquisitions.
Samardzija, right.
These are all good acquisitions, but the team doesn't have the baseline they need for these to put them over the top. You know, this makes them an 84-win team, not a 90-win team. And I think the Marlins were similar in that offseason.
I think my least favorite Cub, also a pitcher, is Antonio Alfonseca.
Oh, six finger Antonio Alfonseca.
That's a personal one.
Yeah.
I was at a game, a Cubs White Sox game, with my brother, and Alfonseca had my brother thrown out of the game.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was so the season.
Were you heckling him or what?
Sort of. Well, my brother definitely was.
Was he closing for the Cubs at the time?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was. My family has these season tickets at Wrigley Field. My dad's wife's a huge Cubs fan. The rest of the family are all White Sox fans, but she's a Cubs fan. She has these great season tickets that are one row behind where the Cubs bullpen is or was.
It used to be on the sideline.
Exactly. So there's like that little mini wall there, and then boom, those are the two seats. So for Cubs Sox games, we would get these tickets. We'd sit right there. And a lot of people. I mean, when you're that close to the bullpen, a lot of people are yelling at these guys, you know, and you think professional athletes are just going to ignore this stuff. But apparently my brother put his arm over the wall and was like giving Alfonseca the finger over the wall, you know, so you couldn't really see it if you were sitting there. But Alfonseca said, and so we saw him talking to like ushers and like pointing to our area, and sure enough, people came down and told my brother that he got to leave. And because his arm was over the wall, people around were like, "He didn't do anything. Why is he leaving? He didn't do anything.
Was he in Sox gear? Was that part of it?
Oh, I'm sure we had Sox hats on. Oh, we definitely had Sox hats on. I'm sure.
That's an amazing reason to.
So that's like, I hate you, Alfonseca. Yeah.
That is totally understandable. I love that actually.
Yeah. It cost me money.
Well, Eric, man, thanks for taking the time to join. Love talking about the White Sox with you, obviously, but also great to talk about realignment and the Mariners and what's going on in baseball. So I'm sure we will have you on again before too long.
I hope so.
But until then, enjoy this brutal White Sox rebuild.
I am.
All right. And thanks to y'all for listening to, like I said, our 50th episode. Thanks to Boardwalk Audio. Thanks to Off the Bench for their support. Thank you to Moonbounce for our transition music. Thank you to Joe, our producer and editor, for all of his hard work. Please subscribe in your podcasting app of choice. Leave reviews. Do all of that fun stuff. Tweet at us, at DuckSnorePod. Always love hearing from you guys. And we will be back next week. Waylon will be back, and we'll have more DuckSnort for you. So talk to you then. When we take a break, let's get all of it out. This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.